Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Where, Mike, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
The news was going to get out eventually. So I want to get ahead of it. I want to tell you this. I defeated Amy Schneider in Jeopardy tonight. I stopped the win streak at 40 games. It's going to get out that it was me. I won. Final Jeopardy category was losing teams that end in ets, and I just cleaned up, and I am now the new Jeopardy champion.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So in your nightlife, what, you travel as a virtual librarian to Chicago or what?
Well, look, they tape all these things ahead of time. You know, that's what happens. They taped, and I couldn't say anything. But really, I walked in right away, and I said, I own the buzzer. And I was zip, zip, zip. And I kept it close just because, she'd won 40 games in a row. I mean, she's a legend, right? So I'm like, all right, let me keep it close a little bit here. But I got to really do run away with it in the finale. And, I got the category I needed. It was pretty easy. And, they tried to throw a curveball by me by making it about the Mets and the Jets and the Nets, but I still got the question right. So now that you've seen the story that Amy Schneider has been dethroned as Jeopardy champion after 41, it was me. I won. My episode will be running in a couple of days.
Very good. I did actually have a friend of mine who was a five-time champion. And then one around in the
champion.
And then well, according to this, you're just beginning your reign of terror. If the winning was done tonight, and that was the episode that aired, so
yeah,
that's good because you did disappear for a while.
I did.
Physically, you were here, but mentally and emotionally, you were somewhere else.
Mm.
You were in a glass case of emotions. I really had no idea what was going on with you.
Look, I just have to stay away from, 14th century monks. As long as that's not on the board for me, then I'm going to be okay. I'll be okay with anything. Foods that start with a Q. I'm good with that. I'm good with anything. Hey, crazy letters of the alphabet. I'm good with all that stuff. I'm good with all books of the 20th century, 19th century. I'm good with English, all those things. It's when you get into those obscure things, I'm going, the Renaissance of 1200. I'm not really up on that.
You wouldn't have been able to get any clues related to Gabriel the Hilandarian?
No, I would have
Gaillard
said.
Gaillard de Moulins?
I would have just
Keir Joachim?
Val Kilmer?
Or Dan Michel of Northgate?
The Saint of the Knight of Templar? No, yeah, okay.
Or Tournesanus? I found 14th century monks just like that, just for you. Berthold of Moorsburg.
Who is Tony Stark? No? Oh, okay. I got that one wrong. All right. I'll just keep going. But you got to just master the buzzer, man.
Who is Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me phrase that. Who is Sir Benedict Cumberbatch? Oh, who is Sir Anthony Hopkins? Sorry. Who is Sir Parker?
I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Who is Doctor Strange?
I'm sorry. He's not the grand. What's his name? Wong is ahead of him now because he disappeared for 5 years.
That's right.
Who is Wong? That is the incorrect. What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm right with all these. Why are you just blowing me off? I'm getting these all correct. tell you the right categories, man. It was great. It was easy. Once I got that Etz category, I risked all the money, and I knew it didn't matter because I was going to get it right. And I wound up winning. I think Ken Jennings told me it was a one-day total. I think I won like $175,000. Gambling
done.
All my money at the end. Yeah, it was tough. It was, but listen. David slays Goliath, right? It's what happens. Eventually, number one goes down. Now I'm the guy. Now I'm the guy. People are going to be coming after.
Are they going to say that she took a dive?
No.
Didn't we have that before?
No.
Didn't we have those? Hey, there's rumor is that he said he was done with this and he took a dive. He's tired of it.
Like it's the end. Oh, no, I can't say it. I'd spoil it for people who didn't see the end of it. I don't want to do that. just like the end of a recently finished streaming show that I watched where the ultimate match was fixed, I will say something like, okay, anyway.
You leave UFC 270 alone. How dare you?
Did you just say the UFC? I'm talking about fictional television shows, and you're here on UFC.
No, here you go, though. In Ngannou wins, right? And he's been very vocal about the pay and benefits or whatever.
Wait, are these UFC fighters or 14th century monks?
No. I've moved on from the monks. I've moved back into the UFC fighters. Right. So Dana White doesn't come out to do the belt presentation. He sends one of their marketing and social media folks out there, and he does that. And then he doesn't show up for the presser. So I asked who the biggest loser was on Twitter. Adele fans, because now I theorize Rich Paul was part of it. Now there's some reports and some smoke there part of it. So you got Adele fans who got screwed out of those opening nights and thousands and thousands of dollars. Packer fans because Aaron Rodgers let him down again, and then Dana White for punking out in what is his job because he doesn't like the guy that won.
I thought you could just throw Knicks fans in there for a second after that pasting that they're taking at the hands of the Heat tonight.
This was so ugly it didn't even matter. Like the game was the third quarter was coming to an end. I'm like, all right, cool. We got the Suns are coming up momentarily. I'm like, wait, there's another quarter of this crap? How dare they?
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover exceptionally common sense. Yes, the two biggest basketball stories at this hour coming out of New York, because yes, the Knicks on national TV proved that, well, maybe we don't need to see the Knicks on national TV for a while. They get run over by the Heat 110-96. And, look, I thought the Knicks were going to be good. I thought they solved their offensive issues. They signed Kemba Walker. They signed Evan Fournier. Great. And they are just where they were last year, and they're worse. And the thing is about them is this, before we get to James Harden, is that the Knicks roster is pretty good. You have a lot of pretty good players on that team, right? R.J. Barrett is pretty good. He has really taken off, right? Mitchell Robinson's a pretty good center. Coming off the bench, you got some guys that are pretty good. Emmanuel Quickley and Alec Burks and Obi Toppin has become pretty good. You have a lot of pretty good guys. But what is killing the Knicks this year is that they thought Julius Randle was the star. And they said, let's build around Julius Randle because he showed last year that everything he worked for in his career built towards that moment in time. He's the right guy, the right team, the right style. And what they didn't realize was that in the first round of the playoffs, when the Hawks say, hey, we're going to throw some guys at you, see if you can beat us, Julius Randle's not that guy. And not that Randle was fool's gold, because he still is a pretty solid player. And he had been a good player on bad teams for a while, but the Knicks really fell into it last year where they thought, oh, now we're going to go build on Julius Randle, and now we're going to win championships. And what they're finding out is Julius Randle is not that guy. And when you're seeing the teams that are ahead of them in the Eastern Conference, in the Western Conference, they all have superstar players. And they thought Julius Randle was going to be a superstar. They thought, well, the Miami Heat are going to have Jimmy Buckets, and we're going to have Julius Randle. The Bulls are going to have Zach LaVine, and we're going to have Julius Randle, right? The Nets are going to have KD and Harden and Kyrie, and we're going to have Julius Randle. The Bucks are going to have Giannis, and we're going to have Julius Randle. The Sixers have Embiid, and we're going to have Julius Randle. Except Julius Randle is none of those players. He is absolutely none of those players, and you see it every night. He struggles. He doesn't dominate games because now teams are geared up to stop him, and the Knicks have a lot of other nice players, but they don't have a star. They don't have that star player to build around. They thought it was Julius Randle. They were incorrect. That's why the Knicks are losing.
Looking at a guy who's got a 41% field goal percentage, who's not a three-point shooter. Right, if he was just hanging out beyond the arcs, like, hey, have at it. But you're expecting him to work and dominate in the low post. And you've made the trade, right? You gave up considerable assets to go get Cam Reddish, and right now he's just starting to get worked into the lineup. So seeing as it's the East, and right, I know the Bulls, last I looked, were having a nice night again after, and now it's closed out, right? They were blowing out the Raptors. Now it's a four-point game, 5 minutes remaining, so can't have anything nice, just like you and all your ets. But the idea that the... Nice. They got to have that quick call back there. But the point is that you've got the East that's topsy-turvy, right? We're going to talk about James Harden momentarily. So it's there if you can solidify, stabilize, and figure out your rotation. As of right now, you can't. And even as you do, a lot of it's going to hinge on whether you find any semblance of the Julius Randle you had before last year's playoffs. Because whatever happened there, he ain't the same guy. I have no idea what, you know, just being the focal point, New York, the lights got too big. I mean, he played in Los Angeles. Not that he was the A guy, but he was supposed to be one of the next. You know, and so he got a lot of accolades and a lot of press and a lot of, you know, people eyeballing every move. And then he gets bounced out of town and all of a sudden, you know, he just starts to become a player and he's in New York and really takes that star turn last year. So, you know, it's a little bit of a psychology session and sit down with Tom Thibodeau to figure out how you can unleash that guy. Maybe you just go steal Kyrie's sagebrush. Takes out all the bad juju.
I see what you did there. So, yeah, look, I'll explain the Knicks to you. And there's you could talk about a lot of different things. That's that they built around the wrong guy. They thought he was a star, but he wasn't. Now, the guy who has been a star, who is getting a lot of the headlines right now because his name has been thrown around that he's been unhappy in Brooklyn. The Nets may try to trade James Harden at the deadline, and my fingers are crossed that they would, because if they trade him, my big prediction that the big three would play less than 50 games before it blows up. Oh, my God, it could retire off of that bold prediction. But the Nets today say they're not going to do it. They are going to rebuff all offers because they believe that they want to see how well these guys play. They believe what they when they all play together, they can dominate. They've played two games together this year, and when the three of them all play, they're going to get them all at some point, and they're going to and they believe that this is the roster and this is the team that's going to go through. And you know, I give the Nets a lot of flack and in building a team in a really weird way and counting on guys that you can't count on, but this I 100% agree on. Right, you can't part with one of these guys while you're still waiting for them to actually play together. All right, you can't. If you traded James Harden, what was the last year and a half even about then? Right, you went all in for Kyrie and KD and James Harden. And yes, some injuries have worked against it. Kyrie and his when I feel like playing, I don't feel like playing certainly has worked against it. But this is what you put together, and you have to put your best effort forward that this is how we're going to play when we get all three of these guys available. Now, at the end of the season comes and it still doesn't happen, and then you move on, right? Then it's time. It's been 2 years and still hasn't happened. You can't get guys on the floor. It just wasn't going to work. But rather than cut bait on this, let's see how it goes. You put these three together for a reason. Yes, I am with the Nets saying we're not going to trade James Harden the deadline. We're going to wait. Hopefully something happens with Kyrie as Omicron fades and New York vaccination rules loosen up a little bit. We get Kyrie all the time. And that's how we're going to go in. KD will get healthy. Now, I completely am on board with the Nets saying we're rebuffing all offers for James Harden.
See, I like it, but I would understand if you just said, all right, sunk costs, we're done. And the trade deadline's coming. What can we get? What is the valuation? Well, if the guy's still missing games because of myriad injuries, that ain't helping anything, right? He sat out tonight. So, I mean, it's if he were fully healthy and shooting better than, I mean, he's barely above your guy Julius Randle in the rankings for where guys are with field goal percentage, right? He's at 42, not exactly lighting it up. So you have to question where you're at. I do believe, and I would agree with you, as an organization, you're saying we assembled this and either we rise to some ridiculous level or at the end of the year we'll know it crashed and burned. Right? And with Kyrie Irving still in the state of limbo, that sure as hell's not helping anything. Right? Which state's he eligible for? How does this work? Where do we go? Eventually the NBA will adopt the NFL protocols, which is, well, we don't have to test anybody. Hey, everybody's eligible for NFC Championship round weekend. No kidding, right? just like we talked about, 2 months ago, saying that was the logical end to the way they were moving and changing policies. NBA will get there soon enough, too. Now it's just a question of the New York mandates and at loosening, and obviously you're watching the numbers on a day-to-day basis to see whether there's any room there, and I got to imagine that they're doing everything they can to lobby, as are bigger businesses anyway, to try to make sure that the there's no operation shutdown forthcoming. But we'll be watching every bit. It's like going to the theater in New York. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll keep the mask up, and I'll watch with bated breath to see what the next turn is here, because they're also still several weeks away from Kevin Durant returning. So how do they weather the storm in the interim?
AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply, so get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up next, we told you yesterday there are clues you can follow that tell you Tom Brady is going to retire. Another big clue dropped today that Tom Brady is going to retire. What was it? We'll tell you next right here, Fox.
Tom Brady's never been hotter.
Jeopardy champion Jason Smith losing Etz teams in Final Jeopardy.
Here's why Brady's the greatest of all time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, Mike, you know, but before we get into this, the Tom Brady story, another big clue that he's going to be retiring. You know, I told you minutes ago I dethroned Amy Schneider on Jeopardy after, you know, 40 runs. It was tough. She was a tough opponent, but, you know, I was able to win at the end.
Well, sure.
I'm also going to replace Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court. I don't know if you know that. That's going to get out as well. I was on the short list. They like the fact that I can make arguments when I really don't have to worry about a law degree or anything with that. And they've listened to the show. And so I think
logic failures are okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Listen, and they.
Well, actually, everybody's making their own Supreme Court jokes right then after what I said there.
Yeah, no, so. but I'm on, they told me I'm on the short list, and I'm going to get the gig. I mean,
best I could tell, you would be the only one who isn't an African American woman.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
list, yeah, from the infographics that I was seeing.
Yeah. Well, what they liked about me is that when they said, "Well, what's going to happen when they ask you questions about the law? You have no experience." And I said, "I'm just going to cite precedent because that right because all the law has already been written. Right? I'm going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to cite precedent, and we go to lunch.
Well, or you call me because I've seen every iteration of every Law and Order show.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I will need
ever
that.
Made.
I will need that.
Although the one with Vincent D'Onofrio at time was a bit too intense. The problem.
The more he cocked his head to the side, the more crazy the episode got. Like he would tilt his head like all the way, almost like he was in what was the movie where his head turns all the way around and he keeps talking? Like he would cock his head to the
side.
Wasn't
he in Men in Black doing that?
Yeah, that's right. He was in Men in Black. Someone brought in a pet cat, very dear to me. So when a big court case comes up, I will say, listen, what happened? You know, tell me a big argument Sam Waterston made at the end, and I'll be able to say, and I will cite precedent, and then I'll say, listen, don't we all just want to go to lunch? And look, they're all going to say, yeah. And then they'll may say, Jason, it's 10:30 in the morning. Yeah, but the line at Jersey Mike's gets really long fast. We get there, have a sandwich now. We can have another lunch at like 1:30. I'm just going to keep citing precedent.
Well, the timing couldn't be better for you because they're getting ready to put Law and Order back into production, and Waterston's coming back. So they have new, fresh from the headline cases for you to really bone up on the law.
I'll be able to solve all issues. I'll solve them all. And I'll go deep into – I'll dig deep. Like, I'll go back to some L.A. Law episodes saw in the late 80s, early 90s.
Why are you wearing that wig? Well, Harry Hamlin had this on, and it seemed to help him make excellent points.
I'm going to cite former District Attorney Grace Van Owen when she decided to prosecute the Ricky Davis case, which is actually a real plot line on L.A. Law.
Ricky Davis? You mean the former Iowa standout?
Yeah, no. That
either,
was
either that or are you going to start going night court and start citing Dan Fielding over at it?
You remember Dan Fielding? Boy, I'll tell you. No. That was actually the case when Harry Hamlin left. When he left L.A. Law, he was like, I'm going to be famous now and be in movies and everything.
Yeah.
The Ricky Davis case he won, it was a big high-profile case. I'm striking out on my own, which means I'm leaving the show. So,
well, he was great in Clash of the Titans. Anybody that hasn't seen that one, the 1981 classic with Calibus, a long personal history to that is at one point I had to have a surgery, which had me walking around like Calibus. Go and pull up the video clip. So that was a nickname around my house for a while. Hey, Calibus, how you doing over there? It's like, it hurts to walk, you jerks.
She called you Calibus.
Yeah, that was my dad who led the charge on that.
Now, listen, all right, now this is pretty fun, though, but I actually have a Harry Hamlin story.
You do.
You want a good Harry Hamlin story?
This is great. Is there a bad one?
No, this is a great story. I'm going back now about...
Was Lisa Rinna hanging out with him?
No, Lisa Rinna's not in this. Lisa's not in this. It's like the late 90s, or maybe it's like 2000, something like that. And my mom comes out to visit. And my mom was always, when she would come out to visit, she would always say there's one or two things she absolutely had to do because she read about something in a magazine or she heard this is a place to go. It was always like, this is a place to go for lunch, or she wanted to go to the store. And she found this jewelry store that she said, oh, I want to go here. I want to get a couple of things. It seems really nice. It's kind of my style. Like, great, we'll go there. So we go to the jewelry store. And we go upstairs, and it's one of those places. It's on like Melrose, in here in L.A., and it's kind of she and
oh yeah,
kind of,
a little bougie, absolutely,
yeah, a little bougie, yeah. Exactly. That's what it is, right? So we go up there and we get a couple of things, and we were leaving, and my mom was paying, and I said, "Well, I'll go down and get the car and come around to pick you up." So I come down to get the car, and I come out of the front door, and I'm standing there outside, and like Pam calls out, she goes, "Jay," and I was like, "What?" She goes, "Oh wait, your mom's gonna be another couple minutes." I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna get the car and I'm gonna bring it around here." She goes, "All right," I go, "Is it gonna be another couple minutes?" She goes, "I don't know." And she's trying to talk to my mom and everything. And then I'm like, all right. And I'm looking. And then I turn around and I see all of it at once. And I see two people looking at me, one guy with a camera and with a big video camera. And the other guy is Harry Hamlin with a cup of coffee in his hand. And he looks at me and he goes, "Can you excuse us?" And I'm like, "Oh, they were shooting him entering this. They're trying to shoot him entering this for whatever TV movie he was making." And I was just standing in the way. They needed to get a shot of him walking in for whatever it was, just some pickup shot of whatever. And I'm just standing there and I turn around and Harry Hamlin looks at me like, Can you move out of the way so we can go in and shoot? Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Hey, no problem.
There you go.
And by the time I come back around and I tell my mom and family, "Oh my God, did you guys see Harry Hamlin?" And they go, "What do you mean, Harry Hamlin?" I go, "He was right there. He walked in." And they go, "No, what are you talking about? They thought I was lying." My mom was like, "You're just making that up." I'm like, "No, he was right there. They were shooting." And we found out he was just taking a pickup shot, shooting something for whatever movie he was making. And they all thought I was lying that I saw Harry. Like, why would I make up that I saw Harry Hamlin? If I saw somebody that I'd make up that, hey, did you see George Clooney walk in? Did you see Sharon Stone walk in? Did you see Prince walk in? But I would say, oh, Harry Hamlin, because I'm going to make it up. And that's like, I wasn't going to make that up.
That's the guy that you would pick to make something up about?
Yeah, Harry Hamlin. Hey, I'm going to fool my mom that I saw Harry Hamlin. Then I'm going to go, "Ha, busted, snag. I got you. Ha, ha, ha. I didn't see Harry Hamlin." No, but I saw Harry Hamlin. I was in his way when he had to walk in.
Well, that's a pretty good story.
That's better than a lot of other Harry Hamlin stories. In the pantheon of Harry Hamlin stories, that's got to be at the top.
Well, I mean, it's really the only one I've heard. So right now it's atop the medal list.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. I'm glad I am at the top of the Harry Hamlin story list. Last night, we told you Tom Brady is giving us the clues that he's retiring from the NFL. right? Just to give you a quick summary, because it was a big deal for us last night. Just like we had to follow the clues that he was leaving New England. He's selling his house. His personal trainer is selling his house. He's voiding his contract so he can be a free agent. All these things. Not committing to coming back to the team. Not saying that he will return. None of this. And we had to follow the clues. We told you he was leaving, but people wanted to just ignore that and go, no, he's never going to leave. Tommy's not going to leave. And guess what? Tom Brady left. And the whole time, he gave us the clues. And he's giving us the clues now that he's going to retire from the NFL. All right, the fact that we've gone through that none of the Bucks were surprised when the story gets out on Sunday morning that he was going to retire, that he's going to talk with his family, that he's going to have a decision in about a month, and if he was really going to play, would he still be going to these lengths? He's not said one thing about playing next season at all. Everything has been looking back at this season, nothing going forward, nothing I can still play, but none of that. It's always been about what a great ride this has been, and I will have a decision in about a month or so. So, yeah, Brady's telling us he's retiring. And we got another big clue today thanks to Rob Gronkowski and, well, TMZ's cameras who caught up with Gronk and said, Gronk, you know, all the Tom stuff. What about you, man? Are you going to play next year?
Like, if they're like, you know, you got to decide right now, this second, if you're playing next year, I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. Like, way too soon. But, like, you got to give it some time. You got to rest. I would say to see how everything goes, you know, how everything plays out.
First of all, he's the most happiest that you've ever heard somebody on TMZ. Usually TMZ's cameras catch somebody and it's, yeah. Hey, if they told me, ask me right now, I would say no. Do you really think Rob Gronkowski doesn't know what Tom Brady's going to do? Of course he does.
I don't think he'd hold up under questioning, going back to our law and order and whatever else. insert your Joe Pesci lines here.
But right here, you know, he talks to Brady. Look, they're incredibly tight. Brady got him an extra $500,000, you know, by getting back on the field and throwing him a pass. Gronk knows what Brady's going to do, but he's not going to ruin Brady's however he wants to announce his retirement. So when he's asked, this is the clue. What would you do? Well, if you ask me right now, I'm retiring. Because he knows Tom Brady is retiring. Not I'm going to wait and see. Not I don't know. Not any of this. Not I'll wait. Maybe I'll come back. No, he's not saying anything yet. He's leaving the door open in case things change. Because that's Gronk's answer. Well, if you ask me right now, no. But in a month, I don't know. Just in case something happens and Brady it goes against everything we've seen and changes mind at the last minute, you know, the Bucks trade for Michael Thomas or, you know, something crazy like that. Hey, my arm's feeling good. I got one
dude,
more
dude, there's
year
$71 million over the cap. Something's happening there. That's why we said it last night. Sean Payton left while the getting was good.
Look, Gronk is healthy and he's playing well. He would find a new team and he would continue playing, but he's not going to say it now. Right, he's not going to take away from anything, and however Brady wants to handle his retiring, so he's going to wait until after. But just the fact that you asked Gronk, what are you going to do? And he said, if you ask me right now, I'm retiring. And Gronkowski and Brady have been joined at the hip since they were at New England. They both skipped the OTAs together. They both wanted to leave at the same time. Gronkowski retired so he could get out of New England and then join Tom in Tampa Bay, and he stayed for the second year after they won the Super Bowl. You really think Gronk isn't in lockstep with Brady and he's not saying I'm retired? Of course Brady's retiring. Gronk wouldn't be saying this if you ask me right now, I'm retiring, but I'm going to kind of wait and see. That's exactly what Brady is doing. Yeah, I'm going to wait and see. I'll have my announcement in a month. Brady's decided to retire. He's just waiting a month to see if his mind changes for any reason, but this is where it's going. This is what his family expects. This is what the Bucks expect. This is what Gronkowski expects. And the fact that you asked him about his situation right now, it's like him giving you the Brady answer. It's another big clue that we've seen Brady throwing his last pass in the NFL.
Well, right now, if I'm Brady, I'm pissed at him. Hey, Gronk, how hard was it to say, dude, I just finished a long season. I'm beat up. It's not a decision you make in a day. Now, you know, I'll see you on the yacht or I'll see you at Super Bowl week to come hang out and party with my man Shaq and whatever. And then do a promo, right? Turn it into a business opportunity. Instead, he starts talking a little bit longer and maybe revealing some of the master plan. Now, back to the Brady thing. And we talked about this last night, but just to punctuate it for those who haven't listened to the podcast, available wherever you grab your audio, download it, give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. Walk coast to coast, give you hugs as we're able to and capable in this this world, and as long as my legs hold up. But with Tom Brady, like, there was no reason for him to go deep into, I can still play whatever. The numbers said it, right? The fact that he was still hitting Mike Evans with deep balls late in that game. Yeah, everybody knows physically he can still do this. So there was no point in belaboring that. Now it just becomes the existential, philosophical, and family matters. There you go. Think of Carl Winslow and him ruling at Nakatomi, you know, at the Plaza. I didn't want to mispronounce it because I
saw. No, it's okay. Nakatomi Plaza.
Yes. Yeah, Nakatomi. Well, I wanted to add an extra syllable. But the point being that, you know, for Gronk, yeah, he kind of opened the door of, all right, we're going to have discussions over the next few weeks. And it plays out. It again, just should have said, you know, I've been in the league a long time. My body's beat up. I need some time. Not yet, guys. And then, you know, say something about, you know, trying to get insurance and when his next commercial is going to drop with that or whatever, and then move on.
It comes back to, why would he say he's retiring when he doesn't have to? Why would he say, I don't know. You got to, I don't know. I'll figure it out. Why would he say he's retiring? He's given us a clue. He's given us the Brady, whether Brady has said, hey, if they ask you, you can say you're retiring. So people will put the dots together. Hey, those really smart guys on Fox Sports Radio at night have been doing it. They're going to keep putting it together. Give them the clues. Like suddenly it's a movie where the bad guys are giving the clues and the police are trying to figure out. Why would he say that? He didn't have to. He could have just said, I don't know. We'll see. Why would he say that if he thought Brady would be coming back? If he thought Brady would be coming back, he would say, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. Because you're not going to say you're retiring and then the Bucks go on and make different plans and they don't want to bring you back. You say you're retiring when you're pretty sure you know you're not going to go back and play for that team again. And that's what Gronk did today. Because there's no other reason to say that if he hasn't talked to Brady and knows what Brady's plans are.
He's supposed to have his story straight. He screwed up.
Follow the clues, man. Well, follow the clues. Why would he say he's retiring if there was any possibility Brady would be coming back? That's another big clue right there. That's the Benoit Blanc of clues. I suspect foul play and Brady's retirement. I suspect it. That's Knives Out 2. That's going to be the new plot. We got more coming up in 90 seconds, but right now it's Knives Out 3 because Steve DeSager's got them all out to tell us what's trending in the wide world of sports. SD.
Alex, game show music, please. Jason Smith and Michael Harmon, your Jeopardy category tonight is foods that begin with the letter Q.
That was what is a quince?
That was chosen over Supreme Court justices that begin with the letter Q.
All right.
Get ready. Let's play.
Okay.
Remember, as always, your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
If you're correct, you'll hear this. If not, you'll hear this.
Wow.
I know it's serious. All right, gentlemen, let's play. Please phrase your answer in the form of a question for no apparent reason. Foods that begin with the letter Q for $200. This member of the pheasant family can be roasted, broiled, or fried.
Jason? What is a quail?
It is a quail. That is correct.
Thank you. Yes.
For $400. Mm-hmm. It is a tortilla that's been filled, folded, and fried. Jason?
What is a quesadilla?
Quesadilla is correct.
You got to be able to finish the clue.
Harmon,
I'm under protest here, man.
I'm working the buzzer better than you are.
But they would lock you out because the last syllable had the clue hadn't finished.
I'm working
for
the buzzer.
For $600, This savory pie can have bacon bits added to the custard filling.
Harmon, what
Michael?
Is a quiche?
It is correct. It's a quiche.
You happy I gave you that one, Harmon? I knew it. I let you buzz in. You happy
You've
now?
Never had a quiche in your
Let's
life.
Let's go back to it. Let's go back.
For $800, this yellow-skinned fruit has been used for centuries in jams and jellies.
Harmon,
yes?
Quince.
It is quince, indeed.
He already said quince. He already gave the... All right. I'm protesting that one.
And finally, for $1,000...
Yeah. Okay.
Most biscuits are an example of these baked items that require little or no kneading. Time? What are quick breads?
Quick breads.
If you ever host Jeopardy, you always have to say the correct answer twice to make the contestants feel extra stupid. Well, the old clock on the wall says That's it for Jeopardy tonight. And yes, my clock has a horn. Thank you all. Until next time. And the winner is Michael Harmon.
I shouldn't have given you that one. You gave me nothing. I went and snatched it. Snatched
where was,
your soul.
Where was like Quarter Pounder with cheese? Come on, man. Where was that?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, you've heard me talk about the Giants being like sports Stonehenge, a relic of a bygone era. Boy, remember how great the Giants were, how great the organization was, how they always did things right. Kind of like what we're used to seeing when you think about Indiana basketball. Oh, I remember Indiana, they were so great in the 80s and 90s. And the Giants are a Stonehenge relic because they still do business like they think it's the 1990s. And they can't do it that way. Building around a running back, waiting too long for plans to develop around GMs and head coaches and quarterbacks. And today was another example, Mike Harmon, of why the Giants are a sports Stonehenge. As CEO and co-owner of the Giants, John Mara, said today about going forward, the team is not going to pursue Deshaun Watson. They are all in on Daniel Jones because it's the Giants' fault that Daniel Jones hasn't been better.
We do feel that Daniel can play. We've done everything possible to screw this kid up since he's been here. We keep changing coaches, keep changing offensive coordinators, keep changing offensive line coaches. You know, I take a lot of responsibility for that. But let's bring in the right group of coaches now and give him some continuity and try to rebuild the offensive line and then be able to make an intelligent evaluation of whether he can be the franchise quarterback or not.
All right, first, I like how he said, you know, because we keep changing coaches on it, like they just did a few days ago.
No, and that's the thing.
You could have kept him if you wanted to.
No, but that's the point, is saying, all right, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
And now we're bringing in Joe Shane, and we're going to try to change this.
Daniel Jones has been in the league now for 3 years. Mm-hmm. He has regressed every year in the league. Every year in the league, he has regressed. He had an okay rookie season. Hey, that's great. It was buoyed by two big games, but still an okay rookie season. He had a horrendous second season, and he had a bad third season. He's thrown for 21 touchdowns in the last 2 years. His quarterback rating is in the bottom two-thirds of the NFL. What do they think they're going to do? What do they think they're going to get from him in year four? Right? The Browns said, oh, we're going to do it with Baker Mayfield. And look what they got from Baker Mayfield. Nothing but more questions. What do they really think they're going to get from Daniel Jones? You're going to remake the offensive line. It's all going to work. You're going to remake the running back situation. It's all going to work. You're going to remake the wide receiver. Everything's all going to work. And Daniel Jones is great. If Daniel Jones was really good, we'd have known by now. This is the 1990s way of thinking where you got to give a quarterback 3 or 4 years to develop. No, you can't do that now. This is 2022. If a quarterback doesn't show it in 1 year, you know that his ceiling is as really shrunken. And if he doesn't do it in 2 years, he's onto a new team and you're onto a new quarterback. They're going to go 4 years with Daniel Jones when what do you really think you're going to get from him? What do you really? That's why the Giants lose, because they have this kind of thinking still going forward. They're going to stick with Daniel Jones, even though he's been worse every year he's been in the league, and we're going to year four now.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, they're in salary cap hell. That's actually the title of many columns related to Dave Gettleman's failure as a GM and executive, is that that's where they stand. They don't have a lot of flexibility. They made it clear they don't want Watson and brought up character and the off-field and not wanting to have to even deal with that for a minute. So to that end, you know, they're staying true to the family organization that they are. Now, they've had some missteps. We can go back to kicker and some other legends that had issues. But, you know, it's a different NFL than it was back in the day. But when we look at, you know, your offense moving forward, you've got some decent component parts. You got to figure out your offensive line, and you have to hope Saquon Barkley's healthy. There are moments, and they are few and far between, that Daniel Jones looks like he could be a guy to take a big step forward. They just have not had that opportunity. All the draft picks failed them, right? Tony wasn't available. He would have had, man.
He would have done it by now. He would have done it by now. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. A big playoff story coming up next on Fox.